morning, Big Tail Man. That's a fucking... That there is a little 600 watt heater, Kmart, and that's a fucking cheap sort of desk, floor fan, just a, you know, box fan type thing. And that's on a tower of milk crates covered by polyester, polyester film. Polar fleece, and so that acts as a big sort of dust filter, you know. Doesn't get down to the fucking absolute microns, but as it slowly clogs up over time, it filters finer and finer. And finer and finer, and helps clear. This is a dusty area, you know. But this is something I made. So yeah, that's polar fleece, right? And there's a thing I really like. Ponchos. If you cut the hole in the fucking top, polar fleece. This gets into electronics, right? Because when, unless it's really cold and you're sweating, the humidity level rises and then you just tend to stew in your own juices because there's, I don't know the right words and I don't know the fucking thing, right? All I know that if you start to get a bit too hot and a bit too sort of sweaty and it's a bit too sort of humid, you start to become like a chicken in an oven bag, you know? So while it's cold, while it's really cold, you can wear this under your shirts and it's like a poncho, you know what I mean? So, I'll give you a look at my gorgeous self. See, so if this comes down to sort of, I can't show you. If it comes down to sort of crutch height, you know, just sort of, there's, there's your thighs, there's your balls, there's your asshole, you know, or there's your asshole. If it comes down to below that, say about 4 or 6 inches, that means you become sort of dressed a little bit like an Eskimo in a fur suit, you know, so... But see, this polar fleece thing, it's like a poncho. And ponchos are very, very fucking good. They're one of the best ideas in the world, you know, wearable blanket, right? But you, for normal sort of living, you're not on horseback, you know, out in the Andes or fucking deserts at night or whatever. So you want to have it wide enough so it comes down over your shoulders, you know, like so, right? And it hangs down low enough. And, you know, I don't like things hanging on my fucking neck, you know what I mean? So having the weight supported on my shoulders is a good thing, you know? But this, I don't suffer from, you know, social embarrassment. I just go, this is a really effective piece of clothing at keeping you warm. I'm happy, you know, if I'm warm. On a freezing cold day, I'm happy, you know. And that's all that matters. He gives a fuck what it... But it's fucking warm. I'm just going... I can feel... It's about 24 degrees Celsius in here. But, you know, the fucking temperature... I'm starting to just... The temperature's starting to rise, you know. So you can either... Switch the heaters off, one of the heaters, that little 600 watts is really good. But that fan thing, it not only does it suck air through the polar fleece filter, it blows the cold air from the floor up to the ceiling, and that mixes up with the fucking it goes up, hits the ceiling, circulates round, and then sucks air back down through it. Then, you know, so it stabilises instead of all the hot air sitting up near the ceiling, and I'm sitting down at the bottom of the room where the air's cold. The polar fleece poncho is a fucking excellent piece of clothing. See, warm as toast, it's a fucking absolutely brilliant piece of clothing, yeah. So anyway, today's lecture is on stupid, and I don't know how far I should go into this, because it just gets really crazy. But I have... I've got a mother. She might still be... She's been on the run for 25 years, so I don't know what's happening with her. And while I don't care to sort of... Well, I really don't care to hunt her down and kill her, you know. I really don't want to fucking, you know... I really just don't want to fucking see her ever again, because she's a bad person, you know, bad woman. And so, you know, I think that's just part and parcel of her mental illness and her nature, and she just can't help, partly because she's a woman, partly because she's a borderline psychotic, you know, and I just don't want to fucking, I don't want to, you know, don't tell me, I don't want to know, you know, she falls over dead, you know, if there's any inheritance, send it, send the check in the mail, you know, fucking, I just don't want to know about the lying and the gossiping and the manipulation and playing people off against other people and, you know, just being a fucking sinister cunt of a human being. But anyway, part of that is just growing up, I might actually do this. Because this is sort of explains my, I don't know, visceral reaction to stupidity and craziness. But, you know, for instance, I'll skip the really sensitive fucking, not sensitive, but they're just a bit too much just for now, you know. But when I was about, there's a whole load of stuff that went on before this. And, so what happened was, when I was about, 13, 14, you know, my mother had access after the divorce, access visits, you know, and in some ways I can see that she did try, and she did have some good qualities and all this sort of stuff, as, you know, as long as she was kept on a short leash by a man, you know, and, but, you know, she'd do shit to press your buttons, you know, she'd do shit to press my buttons. And one of those was to, she had a Volkswagen Beetle, you know, picture time. And what happened is those fucking Volkswagen Beetles, they had tyres with very, very narrow treads on them, you know, the bit that was contacting the road, it was like, where's a ruler, you know, and the wheelbase, you know, the distance from the inside of the back wheels, I think the front wheels and back wheels were the same, you know, but from the distance from the inside of the wheels to the outside of the back wheels, or all the wheels in general, was only slightly wider than the tram tracks in Melbourne, you know, And so there's the tram track. How do I do this? There's the tram tracks there, and there's the tire, and she would just roll the car so that one set of wheels, the left hand side or the right hand side, was on the tram track, and then the left hand wheels were on the tram track. And these are steel rails, probably about that wide, and that they have a gap there on the, say, the right hand side one. I should mirror this. They have a gap there for the flange of the wheel to run in. And then they have the fucking rail head itself, you know. So you got a rail about that wide, you know what I mean? And the tyre on the car is, you know, like about that wide, you know. And the wheelbase, you know, the width of the wheelbase was only slightly, was about one tyre's width, just a little bit more. But basically, it was about one tyre's width wider than the tram track, so she could go, the right wheels are on the fucking rails, the left wheels are on the rails, the white wheels are on the rail, you know, white, right wheels are on the rails, the left wheel, you know. And being acutely sensitive, because I was riding motorbikes and shit, you know, and I understood how very, very clean steel with rubber tyres on it has a reasonably good coefficient of friction, but it only takes a little bit of dust or a bit of rain and you're aquaplaning, you know. So there's this one particular day, and as far as I can remember, am I making this up, or did I fucking just go insane? But or was it such a long time ago, you know? But she was driving down this fucking road, and she'd be just sort of rolling, you know, there's the fucking rails, and then she'd be, you know, then she'd be rolling them onto the right wheel's onto the track, and then the left wheel's onto the rail, and the right wheel onto the rail, you know what I mean? She'd be doing this fucking shit, going down this big hill, and I think it had been raining. And she was doing this in fairly heavy sort of traffic. And what that means is, if the car's driving along and she has to stomp on the fucking brakes, say the right-hand wheels, you know, this is Australia, we drive on the left-hand side of the road, you know. So if this is the right-hand side, you know, and she had the right wheels on the rails, on the rail, and she had to stomp on the brake, then that then the left side, being on the bitumen or on the cement, would grip, and the wheel on the rails would slide out. So then the car would sling around, go into a fucking roll, and, you know, it might miss nothing, but since there's traffic coming the other fucking way, you know, we could just get fucking, you know, sort of like T-boned, you know, like T-boned at a fucking intersection, you know what I mean? But instead of being like the side of the car, it was the roof of the car, you know, like fucking T-boned into the fucking, you know. So I could see all this sort of shit, and I told her, stop driving with the wheels on the rails, you know. And, because, you know, you don't have any fucking right to drive irresponsibly and to endanger your kids' lives like that, you know. And this fucking idiot, you know, I told her a number of times to stop doing it, and she kept doing it, you know. And I should backtrack a little bit. All the other car drivers in Melbourne, there's the rails, but they drive with their fucking one wheel in between the centre of the rails and the other wheel on the fucking, on the road, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And they don't, because they understand this. You know, nobody fucking drives on with as near as they can to getting all four wheels, either the left side or the right hand side on the fucking steel rails, especially when it's wet, because they're as slippery as fuck, you know. I've had a bike drop out from underneath me just crossing the rail as the road went round the corner, and the rails went ahead very carefully over, and the fucking bike just, you know, out from underneath me on the wet tires, wet road, wet rails, and out, you know. So anyway, this fucking, it's like people, you know, it's like being in an armed robbery, you know what I mean, where you're standing there with your finger up your ass going, oh, well, I'm just standing in line waiting to pay for the fuel, you know what I mean, and some cunt comes in with a sawn-off shotgun. That's the sort of level of fucking humour that I have towards, you know, thieves, with armed and dangerous thieves waving loaded shotguns around and pointing them at me, you know. And the same thing goes for cars, where, you know, she sticks on the brakes and the car, that side's going to just slide out, and then the car's going to roll, and, you know, we're in the fucking position of a car running in, straight into our side, which is now the roof of the fucking car, you know what I mean? You know? It means you're like, you're crushed. You're dead, you know? You know, your shoulders, you know, that's not a smile on your belly button, that's your teeth, you know? You know? And so, to get back into the really angry bit, you know, if I don't, knowing what I know now, I wish I, at 14 years old, I just grabbed this bitch by the hair and said, fucking pull over. And when she pulled over, just proceeded to punch her fucking head in. You know? Just a fucking... She does it to press buttons and get reactions. And the fact that she's doing a really, really dangerous and stupid thing that can easily cause complete loss of control of the car and a collision, that's grounds for fucking murder, just about, you know what I mean? Anyway, you know, so I grew up with a mother that was like, you know, got her fucking bullshit little head games going from causing tension, anxiety, bad reactions, dangerous situations, and just provoking it and provoking it and provoking it. And, yeah, so at 14, you know, 13, 14 years old, I really wish I had of just, you know, I really wish I had of just grabbed that fucking bitch, big handful of fucking hair, and just, you know, punched her fucking head in. Another time was, we went to her, she came round to visit, and I had a motorbike, you know, and, so we went to visit her friend, you know, just a few blocks away from where I lived at the time, you know, and, coming back, you know, and I'm doing about 20 k's now. This is like bicycle speed, you know what I mean? Just taking it real easy, just rolling sort of down the end of the street, turn left, you know, go out onto the sort of main road and go up a few blocks and then across a few blocks, and then we're home, you know, to my father's place. And this fucking bitch, it's a light bike, it's a 250cc Suzuki GSX 250. Lovely little bike, you know, when you hot them up, they're fucking brilliant, you know. And what she did is, because it's a light bike, if you put your arms up in the air and start waving around like that, then the whole fucking, you throw your arms that way and the whole fucking bike goes that way, you know what I mean? And when you throw them back, you know, so she's doing this with her arms and the bike's doing fucking that, you know what I mean? And total loss of control. You know, it's sort of like a wheelbarrow, because she's up on the pillion seat and doing this. That means the front wheel is sort of like starting to not quite leave the ground, but it's getting very light and it's going all over the fucking place, you know. And so, you know, this fucking Valium, this prescription drug junkie, you know, is doing this sort of shit, you know. And this is like 15, 20 k's now. This is like a slow bicycle sort of speed, you know. And I went going around the corner and into the fucking, on the brakes, the bike's weaving all over the place, and this fucking bitch is going, slow down, you know. And into the fucking gutter. And I really wish at that time that I'd fucking wheeled around, you know, that I just put the side stand down, grabbed her by the throat, dragged her off the fucking bike and just pounded her fucking head in. You know, you stupid fucking bitch, causing loss of the control of the motorbike. You know, and we're lucky that there wasn't anybody coming up behind us or somebody coming fucking towards us. Otherwise, we just, you know, 60 k's an hour zone, you know, just traffic, little slow suburban speeds, but, you know, could have fucking, total loss of control of the bike. And I wish to God I had have grabbed her by the throat and just punched her fucking head in. You know, just turned her face into pulp. You know, because this bloody borderline psychotic on her fucking, you know. I'm sober and in AA and just guzzling fucking Valium and off with the fairies, you know. Just things like that, you know. Oh, there's other things, you know, there's a couple of other really bad things. But, you know, just... Oh, fuck. Anyway, I fucking hate this. There's a whole range of issues, and some of them I'm just really angry about, and some of them I'm just really fucking... really wish, you know... things could have been better. Some things weren't bad. Some things were really fucked. You know what I mean? There's a whole range of stuff there, but I'm just really glad that she's out of my fucking life, you know. Turn this off. Sick, you know. And, but I think this kind of just taps into that situation. It's not. There's scenes in movies that just drive me fucking insane, you know. And see, it's not the actors playing the parts. Well, yes, it is in some ways. It's a movie. They're people who are playing characters. And, you know, you get the script writers, you get the fucking directors, you get the fucking, you know, training and acting and all this other sort of bullshit, and they're paid to carry on in certain ways, in certain situations, so as to essentially have a high impact kind of effect to generate, you know, engagement of some people. I can, you know, all these dickhead women be going, oh my God, the poor little girlie, you know, and I'm thinking, just punch her fucking lights out, or just stop fucking screaming, you know, and there's three movies that I absolutely fucking hate because of these dickhead directors using Hollywood formula type fucking techniques to, you know, create tension and drama and anxiety, you know. And, you know, when these movies have been out for a long time, so when you've seen them a lot of times, you know, you start to sort of see that it's not... The first time you see them, say, in a cinema, you just go, wow, oh, incredible, because it's all high impact, high drama, high fucking hyper sort of realistic. It's too much to be just plain people doing their shit, so they, you know, greatly dramatize it, you know. And if one sort of effect, one sort of acting sequence or behavior could be torches getting dim. If that produces an effect. So what they do is these fucking stupid fucking Jew script writers, fucking directors, studio owners, investors, all these other fucking cunts, you know, they say, well, if this is an effect here, and, you know, we can dramatise it by, instead of just happening like once, sort of maybe if it was a fairly realistic appraisal of the situation and some people would lose their fucking minds over it, yeah, you know, maybe once or twice, but not 5 or 10 or 20 times, you know, throughout the movie, just to create tension and anxiety. I'd call it, some people might call it fucking drama, I call it tension, anxiety and fucking irritation, you know. So there's three scenes in three movies that I absolutely fucking hate, right? And it's not these girls per se because they're girls, it's because they're putting on this. None of them ever had the balls to say, fuck you know, Spielberg, you Jew cunt. I'm not doing this dumb shit to look like a fucking idiot, you know, a neurotic fucking idiot who pisses their pants with fright. Oh my God, it's a dinosaur! You know, come get us. Dinner is served, you know. And, fuck. But I'll put in the scenes, you know, not all of them. But the first one is, you know, the Jurassic Park. And if this fucking girl hadn't have been screaming and screaming and screaming and pissing her pants with fright, you know, time after fucking time after fucking time, you know, and doing one really fucking dumb thing after a fucking another, after a fucking another, after a fucking another, when there's all these big dinosaurs, you know. You know. Dinner served. Yeah, sister, you fucking dumb bitch. Whack, shut up, you know. Quit screaming. Quit drawing attention to us. Quit putting our lives in danger, you know. And so there's Jurassic Park. I fucking, you know, I absolutely fucking hate that stupid shit, you know. You know, Hollywood formula movies, you can see it. After you've seen the movie, after you've seen each movie, like, say, 10 or 20 times, over 10 or 20 years, you know, it starts to look rather formulaic, you know, like, you know, maths functions look far more interesting, you know. And, so the first one is Jurassic Park.
Out too. Gennaro said to stay put.
Kids okay?
I didn't ask. Why wouldn't they be?
Kids get scared.
What's to be scared about? Just a little hiccup in the power.
I didn't say I was scared.
I didn't say you were scared.
I know.
Boo!
Hey, where did you find this?
In a box under my seat.
Are they heavy?
Yeah.
Then they're expensive. Put them back.
Don't scare me. Oh, cool, night vision.
Hey, It's the power trying to come back on.
What is that? Where's the goat?
Does he think he's going?
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Absolutely still. His vision is based on movement.
I think I get it, yeah. So what happened was the second movie is the Aliens movie where Ripley and the Marines go back to the planet. You know, game over, man, game over, you know. And there's all these, you know, xenomorphs have taken over the colony, you know. Just gobbled up everybody except this fucking girl, you know, this fucking kid, you know. And the kid's name in the movie was Newt. And what fucking Newt does is just incessantly scream with this really high-pitched fucking scream. And you just think it's just like the dinosaur movie. If there's all these fucking aliens, if there's all these aliens getting around the place, and you've got to be very quiet and you've got to sort of get around sort of stealthily, then, you know, now you've got a fucking idiot kid who just screams at every opportunity. And so I've included that scene. And there's a movie called that just drives me fucking insane. Just a piercing scream, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And it's just this whole screaming thing is so stupid. And it's all these movies, they repeat it. You know. What are we, you know, this dramatic effect, you know, oh my God, look, oh my God, oh the girly, oh how terrible, you know, throughout the fucking movie, you know. And then, and it just, you know, oh God, I was trying to think of a documentary. Yeah, someone did a show on not the Mennonites, the people who ride horse and buggies and do farming and, you know, are part of a fanatical religious sect, you know, where they don't sort of, Joker, he did Better Bachelor, he did a fucking show on the Amish. And the women weren't fucking around. They were just, everybody pitches in, everybody works, everybody, you know, gets shit done, everybody knows how to use tools, you know what I mean? They're not fucking, you know, and for all the heavy stuff, all the men were doing all the hard work, and all the women were taking care of the men and running helping run the operation, you know what I mean? Everybody was contributing. They weren't going, my God, I don't know how to use a hammer, you know? Every 5 fucking minutes, you know.
There's refuse and have horse and buggy. I mean, they're a very diverse area, a group of people from different areas. This is from Margo, God bless the Amish, from Friends of the Swananoa. Black mountain area needs help. Anyway, so to paraphrase, the Amish have shown up there. Both men and women doing physical labor, but mostly the women taking care of the clothes, washing the clothes of the men, feeding the men, and the men doing the hard work. And you can see that they're putting up small temporary shelters. So the Amish are helping modern North Carolina rebuild. The Amish are doing that. I'll play this last clip video. And then we'll get onto my topic here. This one doesn't want to seem to play along nice. Let me do this. I'll play this clip, and then we'll get on to the main point of this whole thing.
We come out here every morning, and yeah, we work mostly in Chimney Rock, some down in Batcave.
These volunteers are members of the Great Needs Trust, an Amish community in Pennsylvania, offering not just their skilled hands and their time, but their compassion as well.
We wanted to help people that had the disaster. Our heart just felt drawn to come help.
Since the storm, more than 2,000 volunteers have stepped in to help rebuild, and donations have poured in. Kindness from strangers, helping their neighbors.
All of the building material that's going into rebuilding these stores has been donated up to this point, and it's just been a tremendous recovery story that is ongoing.
They are not just fixing buildings in Chimney Rock. They are rebuilding a sense of community. one nail at a time.
It's just inspiring to me to see how people can pull together and work together and get something done.
It just fills my heart with joy just watching people just get their life back again.
There's still plenty of work ahead. But for Chimney Rock, recovery is clearly in motion. And now these volunteers from hundreds of miles away have become part of this mountain town's future. Jesse Pierre, WCNC Charlotte.
The reason I wanted to talk about this specific, you know, this specific story or this part of the story is because so many times you hear, oh, yeah, but what, you know, who would take care of us? How would we have roads if we didn't get taxed and we didn't have government? You know, how would we ever rebuild if it weren't for FEMA, if it weren't for our taxes, if it weren't for all the things they take from us? FEMA still hasn't done much out there. I mean, they're doing a little bit. You know, I'm not saying that they're not out there at all. But it's, you know, they're doing more of the road construction and trying to rebuild and reshape the river. But there's actually a lot of private contractors that are doing that as well. Who's actually rebuilding the town, the homes, making them livable, helping the people get back to it? The Amish. And they're donating their time. And a lot of the materials are being donated by other citizens like me and like you guys that donated to me to go buy things, to go take up to them. You know, if you took how much most Americans paid in taxes and, hold on a second, I'm going to sneeze, damn it. If you took how much we pay in taxes for these stupid programs and just put it in the bank and set it aside as a tithing for a church or 10% of your income set aside to help your fellow man, and something like this happens, not only would it be taken care of faster, cheaper, but it would be done by friends helping friends. The government does nothing. And I think this is interesting because the Amish, they don't need the government. They have each other. The other thing I noticed watching a lot of these videos is that here you have women hanging drywall. There wasn't a guy hovering over them telling them how to do it. These are women that know how to hang drywall. If you look back on that other video, there were women running hand saws and table saws and just dropping lumber into a pile. They weren't worried about their nails or getting splinters or how do I do this? Or, oh, I need a man to help me. So in many ways, the Amish women are actually less, I mean, in all ways, all single ways, Amish women are less feminized than Western women. But they're also more capable, just more capable as women, more capable as human beings, more capable as workers. Like the women are in there getting their hands dirty and getting it done, wearing their old traditional garb even. And a lot of these videos had women, but the thing that also that it impressed me is they were smiling and a lot of them were laughing and they were having fun as they were doing this. And not as if it was a joke, but they were genuinely enjoying themselves. They were genuinely enjoying their time with their friends, their family, people of their age, people in their community. They like each other. They're not tens of people that are friends or that know each other. They're hundreds strong in these communities. And you care about these people and their well-being, and they care about yours. And you have friends in this community that are probably lifelong friends that will help you raise your children, or if you have a lame horse or you need a barn, you need a 100,000-pound barn or 50,000-pound barn carried across your property to relocate it, and they just all show up in there as a community. I think in many ways, the Amish people have it right. I remember when I was a kid, I'm trying to get to the main story, but I guess this whole thing is just the main story. But it does relate to mine and probably.
And the third movie that I hate, The Girl. It's a girl, she's an actor in a movie, and she's doing really fucking dumb. Instead of saying, no, I'm not going to do this Hollywood formula fucking bullshit, Spielberg, you stupid cunt, you know, you stupid Jew cunt, I'm not going to fucking do this. I'm going to act like a sane fucking person who's learning how to adapt to, you know, movie land. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to learn how to adapt to this situation so I can survive it instead of being a hysterical fucking idiot embarrassment that's just pissing themselves and screaming and just doing all this dumb shit all the fucking time, you know? And the girl in the Tom Cruise version of War of the Worlds, you know, why? Why do they... She's acting. But why do these fucking stupid Jew cunts who are making all this Hollywood shit, why can't they bring out girls who do intelligent things and smart things and figure shit out and go, well, there's the aliens from Mars. Yes, goddammit, let's just hide down here until they pass over and shoot them in the ass with a fucking, you know, anti-tank round or some shit. You know what I mean? Instead of going, oh my God, they're coming, ah! You know? So that's my sort of take on, you know, actors that consent to go along and do fucking stupid shit, you know? And, you know, people who write scripts and people who direct movies who, you know, get this whole sort of setup going where they just do really fucking stupid screaming and annoying shit and they repeat it and they repeat it and they repeat it all throughout the movie and all throughout all the other fucking movies they're involved with or that they see other people. That's Hollywood formula movies, you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't believe in this. I'm empowered. I don't need no man. Moronic fucking shit, you know. But I think, you know, like I don't have a lot of time for the Amish, you know what I mean? I'm not into bullshit religious cults, you know. But, you know, in terms of getting shit done, you know, I look at the Amish women and I think, yeah, they're all right, you know what I mean? In some ways, you know. But, you know. But just I'm so fucking pissed off. I'm so fucking pissed off with the stupid shit. So I'm going to... I finished this. So I'm going to edit it and make it into a document... Sort of a documentary.
Get in, Manny, or you're going to die.
What do you mean?
All right, get out of the truck. I'm not kidding now. Get out of the car, Ray. I'm not going to get in. I'm not going to
get in.
I'm not going
to get in with us.
I'm
not fooling around. I got a busy
day ahead of
me. Close it. Get out!
Get out! Get out! Get down!
Is that the terrorist?
Just get out! Get down! Get down!
Maybe you only work your car around here. I'm not stopping until we're clear of it.
Clear of what?
We gotta go.
The hell is going on?
You saw, we're under attack!
By who? Who is attacking us?
Rachel. Rachel, keep it down. Rachel. Rachel, shut up, Rachel.
You're freaking her out.
Look, I'm driving. Do something.
Okay, put him up, Rach. Make the arms. This space, this is yours. This belongs to you, right?
Yes.
You're safe in your space.
You're
safe in your space. Nothing can happen to you in your space.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the front seat. I'm going to talk to Dad.
No.
I'm like 2 feet away, okay? Will you hold my hand?
Yes.
Will you hold my hand?
Yes.
You going to be okay?
Yes.
I want to know everything you know.
This thing, this machine, it crawled out of the ground, started to torture everything. It's killing everybody.
What is it? Is it terrorists?
This came from someplace else.
What do you mean, like Europe?
No, Robbie, not like Europe!